Thanks so much for joining us here for Garden Talk. Larry Mehler here, and we're going to switch our attention to mushrooms. You know, a lot of ways to grow mushrooms. I've done mushrooms on a log. I've done them in my home in the basement. I've tried it. You can do it in the bucket as well. Lots of ways to do it, and today we'll spend a little time talking about mushroom farming. And you're going to hear from a mushroom farmer, and you'll get some tips on cultivating your own edible fungi. Steve Schultz is our guest. He is the founder of Fun Guy Farm. I love that name. F-U-N space guy farm. Or I suppose we could call it Fungi Farm, Steve. He sells sustainably grown mushrooms in the Eau Claire area. And I tell you what, you want to know about growing mushrooms? Maybe talk about your favorites to eat? If you grow mushrooms, what are your methods? You can join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me.
I tell you what, I was on your site, your Fun Guy site, and I looked at how you got started in mushroom farming, which I thought was a pretty good story. So tell us that story.
Well, I had grown mushrooms on logs, shiitakes on logs, but how I really got started in my latest adventure here is my wife thought I was my memory was slipping. We were going to watch a movie on Netflix, and I picked one out, and she said, we'd seen that. I said, no, we hadn't, and we watched the trailer, and sure enough, we had. So, you know, I, not wanting to take any Prevagen or any other of those over-the-counter supplements, I did some research and found lion's mane was pretty good for mental health. And so I decided to grow lion's mane. And I was going to grow it like I grew shiitakes on logs. So I inoculated a couple logs, and it was going to be about a year before they were fully colonized, and I was going to get the fruits. And I thought, well, shoot, you know, by the time I get the fruits, I might forget where I put the logs. So I found a little better way, a little quicker way, growing them on sawdust, supplemented sawdust. And then pretty soon I had more mushrooms I knew what to do with. So I contacted Deidre Berrickman, as the manager of our local farmer's market, our Eau Claire downtown farmer's market. And I know she had grown mushrooms and sold them there for quite some time, but she had given that up and became the market manager. And she said, sure, we'd love to have a mushroom vendor again. And the rest is history. Short history.
Oh, man. Well, Ed, the Fun Guy Farm, I love the name. So what's the farm like? The farm like?
It's constantly evolving. It started out at the home farm where I was doing everything very manually, and I have a background in engineering, so I've been kind of bootstrapping and building more automated equipment. And today we are in about 1,200 square feet that consists of a lab, which is a HEPA filtered flow hood inside of a grow tent, where because everything has to be, all the inoculation has to be done in a real sterile, clean environment. Then we have a sterilizer that will hold 480 pounds of substrate, about 68 pound bags. We have a mixer that I made out of a 250 gallon water tank, and I put I built my own mixer because, you know, that's what I do. And it also has a bagger attachment so we can fill the bags with the substrate. And it starts out, we mix up the substrate, we bag it up, we put it in the sterilizer. Once it's after it spends 24 hours at about 180 degrees, or gets to 180 degrees to sterilize the substrate, we bring it into the lab. And that's where I add the spawn and seal everything up. Then from there, it goes into about a third of our area as incubation. So we got roughly 400 square feet of incubation where it sits for 2 weeks, and the mycelium grows throughout the substrate. Then, once it's fully colonized, we put it into our fruiting room, which is roughly the same size. And that's the nice area. That's because mushrooms have to grow at a cool 60, between 60 and 70 degrees. So that's where everyone on the farm wants to be. Only thing is they also grow at about 80% humidity. So it's a little bit sticky in there.
Well, now I'm sure you grow lion's mane, but what other mushrooms do you grow?
We grow lion's mane, oyster mushrooms, several different kinds of oyster mushrooms, some pepini, a chestnut, and then seasonally we'll grow king trumpets, we have a separate little refrigerated shack, if you will, for the king trumpets and black pearls in the summer season like this, because they like a cooler temperature. Yeah, they like to grow between 50 and 60, so they like it a little cooler. And then in the wintertime, we will grow enokis and some of the cooler weather varieties. So we try to grow seasonally so that we can take advantage of the ones that like warmer temperatures in the summer, such as pink oysters and gold oysters, and then the cooler weather ones in the wintertime. That keeps our environmental, conditioning bills down, if you will. I don't want to, heat it up real hot in the winter, and I don't want to have to cool it down any more than I need to in the summer.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, how did that lion's mane turn out? I mean, can you remember things better now than you could before?
Oh, I have a mind like a steel trap, Larry. I attribute that to lion's mane. But we do, because of the medicinal quality of lion's mane, we started making tinctures as well. And I have so many customers that come up to me and give me testimonials on how it's really, really helped their mental focus and clarity and memory. I've been taking it for so long, I don't notice how well it's working until I don't have it. I was at a mushroom conference over in Door County, and I was giving a talk on the medicinal benefits of mushrooms. And when I went over there, I didn't bring my lion's mane tincture with me, and I had the regular coffee from the bed and breakfast, and I was giving the talk, and I was just a little bit off, and I was like, what in the world's going on? I'm like, oh, yeah. Sorry, guys, I haven't had my lion's mane today. Here's my testimonial to how well it works.
Oh, boy. And you said coffee, and I saw that on your site. You make coffee out of it.
Yeah, we also make a coffee that we infuse. We make several different kinds of tinctures, but we infuse the coffee with lion's mane, chaga, and reishi tinctures, which we consider to be the three most medicinal of the mushrooms that we grow the lion's mane. The chaga is a foraged mushroom. It grows on live birch trees. And we have grown reishi in the past, but it grows so well out on hemlock trees in northern part of Wisconsin that we use foraged chaga and hemlock. We don't grow those anymore.
Gosh, I tell you what, this is a great operation you've got here. I was just going online to your site. I was surprised at the number of tinctures and so forth that you've put together.
Yeah. Well, mushrooms have a medicinal component, obviously, and that's kind of what got me interested in growing them at any scale. But what we're doing is my production manager, she is an herbalist. She's an amateur herbalist. During the COVID, she just decided to take up herbalism, and then she was buying lion's mane from me and making tincture out of it. And so I hired her, and she's been just a great, great addition to the farm. And then we got access to a commercial kitchen where we could make the tinctures and other products. So one thing just led to another. And then once I started getting the testimonials from people who are using the tinctures, we can't quit now.
Chris at Adams called, couldn't stay with us. She takes some mushrooms for health conditions, and she's heard that it's best to cook them to get their benefits. Is that true?
That is true. Yeah. Mushrooms, the cellular structures of mushrooms, the cellular walls are made of chitin. That's the same thing crab, crayfish, and lobster shells are made out of. And our bodies can't break that down very efficiently. So, but once you get to 160 degrees, it breaks that down for us where we can access the nutrients inside the cell walls. Now, it's a kind of a double-edged sword. At 190 degrees, they start breaking down. They start changing their structure and they become less beneficial. So that's why when we make the tinctures, we're real careful to run them at about 175 degrees, right in that sweet spot where we're breaking down the chitin and making it more bioavailable, and so we can get a full extract, and below the temperature where they're going to start breaking down.
Our guest today, Steve Schultz, is the founder of Fungi Farm. It's great to have him with us. And if you have some questions, I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 800-642-1234, or shoot us an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Coming up Monday on the Larry Mueller Show, our physical therapists are back. This time they'll talk about the difference between doing physical therapy online versus in person. That's Monday at 11 on the show. Right now, we're taking a look at mushrooms with our guest, Steve Schultz, founder of Fungi Farms. And questions, give a call. 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Is it difficult for the average person? I mean, you know, I've tried it. I've done it with logs. And, you know, I had some success. I tried it in the basement. I had a little bit of success there. But I wasn't as particular as I should have been, I think.
No, it can be as easy or difficult as you want to make it. You know, you can, like you say, you can grow on logs. You can plug a few logs, drill and plug the logs and put them someplace where in the shade where they're not going to dry out and have some success. You can just let them naturally fruit. Like say, take about a year for them to fully colonize. Then when it rains, that'll stimulate them to fruit. Or you can soak them, you can soak them with a garden hose. You can go as simple as putting some wine cap spawn in amongst your hostas and your wood chips amongst your hostas, and that is usually very successful. Or there's other ones. Almond agaricus is one that you can put outside in your garden around the tomato plants, and every once in a while after rain, you'll get some really nice medicinal mushrooms. They're almond agaricus. Or you can buy blocks and fruit them indoors like I do. There's several ways
to do it.
Yeah.
Brad in Door County has something for us. Let's go there. Brad, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Yeah. So I heard Steve say that his temperature is important in the summertime to keep cooler. And warmer, of course, than in the wintertime when he grows certain species. I was wondering if he's ever heard of an insulated concrete-formed building. I have a shop that's 10 foot tall, 100 foot long, 50 foot wide that's built this way, and it's still 56 to 58 degrees in the summertime, even when it's 90 and 100 out.
Insulated concrete buildings. Well, you're an engineer, Steve, so you probably know about them.
Yeah, that sounds excellent. I looked into is it insulated concrete or is it foamcrete? Is it aerated concrete but either way, any structure that you can keep cool. And I was using what I had available. I had some old warehouse space that I'm using, and that's just because it was available. But I am in the process of purchasing some used insulated refrigerated trailers, that anything that you can keep cool in the summer and heat in the winter efficiently, will work wonderfully. I was even offered a space in a basement building in Chippewa that has actually a natural spring running through it, and that would have been perfect. It's just a little bit too farther than I wanted to drive every day to pick mushrooms, because mushrooms have to be picked every day when you're growing them on a commercial scale.
Brad, there you go. Thank you for calling. Andy in Madison, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. I started outgrowing shiitake on logs, probably 30 years ago. And I'm just getting back into it, and the economics of production. And just a couple questions. I'm going to rattle them all off. One, what substrate are you using for all your lignophiles, and where do you get it? Two, are you creating your own bags that you're growing them in? So are you putting the injection port on? Are you putting the micropore filter on? So those are my questions.
Okay.
Yeah. I grow on a what they call master's mix. It's a mixture of 50% sawdust and 50% soybean hulls. A lot of people use hardwood fuel pellets for that, but I happen to be fortunate enough where I have a hardwood sawmill close by, and they deliver the sawdust. And then I also have, we're in an agricultural area, and so the soybean hulls are readily available. I also have them delivered. So, yeah, it's a mixture. My substrate's a mixture of sawdust and soybean hulls, 50-50. And then by weight, it's 60% water and 50% of that dry mix. And then I purchase my bags. I purchase bags with the filter patch on them. I don't need an injection port because I don't use liquid culture. I buy my Grain Masters from Field and Forest in Peshtigo. They're a really good outfit to get any spawn or growing supplies from. But the injection ports for liquid culture, and I don't use liquid culture because I've gotten to the point where I'm trying to cycle stuff through faster, liquid cultures, I'd have to go with liquid culture to grain and grain to substrate, and it would just add more time to the process, which I'm right now, I from inoculation to harvest it on my faster growing varieties like oysters, about 4 weeks. By going from a liquid culture, that would add another couple weeks to the whole process.
Well, there you go, Andy. Thank you very much for calling. Sarah in Sauk City, we turn to you. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I've got two questions for your guest. First one is, I've heard a lot of people say that you should only take mushroom supplements for a certain amount of time, something bad about taking them, long term. So I'm wondering if that is true. And then other question is about spent blocks at the farm. What do you guys do with your spent blocks, and do you ever give them out for free, or do you know of any farms that do that so us at home can get some extra fruitings?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the spent blocks, whenever someone wants spent blocks, they're free to take them because we dispose of them. Right now they're going to the dump, and I feel like I'm actually contributing to some bioremediation by sending that myceliated substrate to the dump, and it helps clean up and remediate some of the materials at the landfill. And then as far as the mushroom supplements, there are certain ones such as chaga that have oxalates in it that can promote the growth of kidney stones if you're prone to kidney stones. Let me see, reishi is a mild blood thinner. So there are, it's not all upside on the tinctures. With any health supplement though, you should always check with your doctor before you start taking any health supplements, whether it be mushroom or anything else.
Yeah. All right. There you go. And so those blocks, Sarah wanted to come up, she could pick up some blocks.
Oh, certainly. She can pick up as many as she wants. I just, I just, right before I got on the air here, I just took out a whole, it must have been about 400 pounds worth.
Sarah, there you go. And you can find, what's your website again? Just, if you type in Fun Guy Mushrooms, you're probably going to get them, but.
You'll probably get it. Yeah, it's Fungi, all one word, F-U-N-G-U-Y, -farm.com.
Fungi-farm.com. There we go. Wait, we have that up on our Larry Mueller show page as well, under within today's notes. Garrett in Sturgeon Bay, we'll go to you. Hi, Garrett.
Hey there. Thanks for talking to me. Steve, I caught you at Crossroads when you were here in Sturgeon Bay, so it was great to hear you then, and pleasure to talk to you again now. So I'm selling mushrooms at our farmer's market here, and I was curious about your substrate mix, if you had to vary it from the master's mix for your enoki.
I really didn't. I was using this same master's mix, but you know, I'm not the world's foremost enoki grower. If you know of a better substrate mix, I'm all ears. I'm always learning. I'm a student of mushrooms. They teach me something every day, pretty much.
Garrett, have you got something different?
No, I haven't fruited any enoki yet, but I'm thinking about it here for the winter as well. So I just wanted to see if you had any variance there in the substrate, but good to know that master's mix works well for you.
Yeah.
I've had good luck with it. The best advice I can give you though is get a good culture, because I've had some enoki cultures that, you know, they'll incubate and the spawn run will be great, and then they just don't fruit. So, the main thing is get a good viable culture from a good reputable source.
Garrett, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Well, one of the places you sell your mushrooms, as you said, is at the Eau Claire Downtown Farmers Market. What's your advice for people looking to sell mushrooms at a local market?
Well, I guess first thing is contact the local market manager And you know, you can start small. You don't have to grow 300 pounds a week. You can get there. I'm living proof of it. But you know, you can start small, and a lot of the local markets, I think you'll be really surprised at how much attention the mushrooms will grab, and how much draw there is for them. I certainly was. That's what got me to where I'm at now. I was really surprised at how much need there was in the community for fresh mushrooms. And then once people, you know, try fresh mushrooms, the store-bought ones just don't hold a candle to them, like any fresh food.
Yeah, and locally produced, it's all a good thing.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. The less miles they have on them, the better they are.
Well, any goals or dreams you have for Fun Guy Farm down the road?
Well, I did retire from my job of 28 years to do this, and someday I want to retire from this and get it to the point where it is running itself, where I'm not, you know, I'm. But like I say, every day I'm still learning, and once I can learn and get the processes standardized enough where I can hand it off to the next generation, if you will, then maybe I can truly retire. This mushroom farm is a lot of work.
How do you harvest them, by the way?
It's all by hand. It's all right now. I have my production manager. She's in there. It's just by hand. We just pull them right off the block, and then we trim any substrate that sticks to the base of the mushroom, and put them in a case, and then wheel them to the cooler. So it's a pretty simple process.
And how is the? I'm just curious. You have so many tinctures that you sell online. I'm just curious. Does that do pretty well for you?
Oh, it. Yeah, it does very well. We and like I say, we have so many people that are have come to us and told us stories of how it's helped them, and And then also they know what they're getting when they buy it from us, because we, you know, we have it third party tested, and our testing agency bought six random samples from the Amazon, and three of them didn't have any lion's mane mushroom, lion's mane tincture, by the way, specifically, didn't have any lion's mane in them. One of them was, yeah, they couldn't tell if it was quite really lion's mane. Two of them were legit. So, you know,
you're
so
doing
our customers,
legitimately.
Yeah, when our customers, and you're getting it local, and you know, if it doesn't work for you, you can come back and give me grief in person.
Okay. Steve, a great pleasure. Thank you so much. Steve Schultz is the founder of Fun Guy Farms, Fun Guy Farm, I should say. Great to have him with us. Great to have our team, too. Joe Patnaud, Clara Neipert, our producers, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our technical directors, Jill Nadeau, our executive director and everybody's boss, and I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening. Stay with us and have a great weekend.